I want to get started again, as we did last week, in talking, beginning the series that we did last week on the Word, culminating, of course, as we are approaching Christmas, with the "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so this whole series on the Word, and of course, I'm approaching it from a couple of different angles as we began last week to help us to get into the Word and for the Word to get into us. And so once again, I want to thread together some texts in this series on the Word, and in particular today, how the Word works in our lives. And so I want to begin by reading, as we did last week, a few scripture verses. And so at heart, I'm a Bible teacher. And so I just don't feel right like we've done justice to the Word unless we're looking at the Word and comparing some things and pulling out a scripture here and there, and hopefully threading them together in such a way that it makes sense to the Word that I want us to hear today, how the Word works in our lives. Now, last week, I'll tell you, that Word worked in my life last week. And I had plenty of opportunities to practice that Word. And I trust that if you weren't here, I would encourage you. I think it's on our website. You can go there and listen to that Word. But I want to begin, as we now talk about how the Word works in our lives, starting to read several scripture verses. The first is in 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 21. And there's a little verse of scripture there about that's spoken about Samuel in his life. Now, many of us have heard the name Samuel. He was a prophet in the Old Testament, a very renowned prophet that did some very significant things. And he was, one of the things about Samuel that was peculiar is that we see his life from an early age, from birth. We see his life and how it was that the Lord called him to serve him. And there's a little verse here that I want to draw your attention to in 1 Samuel 3, and starting at verse 21, where it speaks of how Samuel was going to serve the Lord, and it says how he grew up before the Lord. And then it says this in verse 21, "The Lord continued to appear to at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." You see that little phrase there? He revealed himself to Samuel, how? Through his word. And then I'd like us to turn over to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Though we're going to be reading several scriptures and trying to thread them together, I'm not going to talk much about the context, and that kills me as well, because being a Bible teacher, I want to help put things in context. But I have a feel for the context, and hopefully I'll relate these things as close as possible. But nevertheless, here in Hebrews 4:12, a statement is made about the Bible that is a pretty amazing statement, and kind of puts it in perspective to us just what we're dealing with when we talk about the Bible, God's Word. Listen to what he says. He says, "For the Word of God is living and active." This book is alive. He said, "The Word of God is living and active." And then he says, "It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intents," or the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, when it says it penetrates, when it says this book is alive and it penetrates, what it's saying is that it goes deep inside us. Deep inside. And he continues, and he says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight." Again, now he's talking about the Word. so that this word is revealing. God sees us through this word. We see ourselves in this word. It's revealing. He says, nothing's hidden. He says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Ooh, wow. And then I want to look at John 6:63. And Jesus says something about his words, the words that he speaks. He makes a statement about these words that I want us to hear. And John 6:63. And again, I'm threading this together. There's a theme to this, to these verses of Scripture. And the theme revolves around how the Word works in our lives, how it works in our lives. And here Jesus says in John 6:63, he says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Almost saying the same thing that the writer of the Hebrews says, how these words are alive words. But Jesus says that there's something of a spiritual and life-giving quality, nature, in these words that isn't surfacey, that touches life within us. It isn't just flesh that eventually turns to dust. But it touches that very depth within us that is also life. He says, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Ooh, something in these words. And then, okay, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus makes a statement about the word that I just want us to catch as I'm going to be sharing here in just a moment. Luke chapter 10, where Jesus prays. And this has to do with the context of how it is that God makes himself known through his word. Emphasis, underline, how it is that God makes himself known through his word. Anybody know what we call that? Okay, and so here it is. He says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things. You have hidden these things from the wise and learned. That is to say, from those who think they got it all together, from the know-it-alls, from I got this. No, I know. From the smart Alexes, from those who have, well, you know, we've studied that, and these are the conclusions that we have made, and so we're good now. He says God hides things from that kind of attitude in people. But it says, he goes on to say, but he revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was good, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him or make him known. And so we see here that there is a disposition. There's a quality of childlikeness. It isn't just that, well, he reveals them to children. It's that opposite of that smart aleck, know-it-all type of attitude where there is this openness, meekness, of humility. There's something here that I need to learn. There's something here that I need to be open to. And then he makes clear to us, to those kind of people, God chooses to reveal himself to, make himself known to. Okay? Then I want to go from there to Chapter 24 of Luke 24. Jesus is risen from the dead, and he is spending time with his disciples before he permanently takes his seat in heaven. And as he is speaking to them, they're just not getting it. They're not getting it. Now, he was with them for three and a half years, and there was still things that they just weren't, it just wasn't computing. And Jesus made clear to them in John's gospel, where we're going to look in a moment, that there's a reason for that, them not getting it. There's a reason for that. And Jesus is quick to point that out and to help them as to what it's going to take for them to get it. Here's the first thing it takes for them to get it. He says in verse 45, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Notice, there's an initiative taken by God for them to get it. He opened their mind for them to understand the scriptures. Virtually what we said already, God made known, God revealed, God reveals. And then in John chapter 14 and verse 25, it speaks there of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to teach you the word, and he is going to take all those things that I have said. Where do we find those things that Jesus said? Right? In the New Testament, in the Bible, even in the Old Testament. And it says, he will reveal them, he'll make them known to you, John 14. And so there is that necessity of the ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to get it. To get it. To understand the scriptures. Okay? Now, just let me finish it off here with getting into it here. Psalm 139. Let me close it off. Psalm 139. Some of you may have heard this because there was a song that we used to sing. In fact, it was entitled, Search Me, O God. The psalmist prays, and we know about the psalms, don't we, that they are prayers. The psalms are prayers. If you haven't heard that before, the psalms are prayers. Put to music, as are most worship songs. They're our prayers. We're offering them to God. And here he says in verse 23, he says, Search me, O God. The psalmist says, Lord, search me. He says, and know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is some offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Wow. Then, how does God do that? Well, in James, he tells us, and I end with this verse of scripture. Thank you for your patience in looking through this, looking through your word with me. The Bible with me. So in James chapter 1 and verse 20, starting in verse 23, James talks about the Word of God and how it is that we don't come merely to the Word of God to listen, but to put it into action. He says, what good is it if you just hear, but you don't do? He says, it's no good. Okay. Then he refers to the Bible, the Word of God, in a particular way. Particular metaphor he uses. For he says, in so many words, the Bible is like a mirror, he says here, that we look intently into. Now, when you look intently into a mirror, what are you looking at? Reflected back to you is your image, right? And so he says, that's what it's like when you look into this word. Except what's being reflected back to you is not necessarily your exact image, but the image that God has originally created you in and intends for you to become. That's good news. That is good news. And so there is that kind of thing happening. Would you pray with me? And so, Father, there it is, your word. As is my prayer so often, Lord, that kind of thing would happen now that happened with Peter on that day. That in the ministering of your word, that there would fall upon us your Holy Spirit. And that we would feel that Spirit, your Spirit, working this word into our lives right now. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. And so, the Bible is no ordinary book. If you are a believer, you're a Christian, you already know that. You feel that. If you've read the Bible, of course, you're aware of that. But the Bible is no ordinary book. But I want to pause for a minute to emphasize a couple of things. Why it is that we say this book is no ordinary book. Remember, tethering everything to how this word works in your life and in mine. So the Bible's no ordinary book. Because, first of all, by it, we come to know God. God has chosen, by this book, to reveal himself to us by these words. Ooh, that's major. So the Bible's no ordinary book because in this book, in these words, we find God. We find him. The Bible is no ordinary book because he is the author of these words. These words come to us from God. From God. And of course, there is a whole theology around that to prove the authority of that. Be that as it may, it's not my intention this morning to get into that. But it's settled that this book's author is God. I mean, that's major for us. And, you know, there are many kinds of ways that that's described to us. You know, this is a love letter from God to us. I like that. You know. And the way in which this book comes to us doesn't come to us. Can you imagine if all we had were the Ten Commandments and that's it? You know, all we had. So, yep, this is the Bible from God for you. And all you had were the Ten Commandments. Ooh, really? That's it? We're in trouble. And so this doesn't just come to us as Confucius puts his nice little sayings, right? Principle. And there are good things there. Principles that are said and, you know, these nice little things and rules and regulations. No, it comes to us in a story of life. That's how it comes to us. It's life-giving. And it's real stuff, you know, how it comes to us. And then its extraordinary nature is especially felt in the way in which it messes up my life. It's like, and I think sometimes, this is why we have a difficult time with really getting into the Word. Because I find that when I really start getting into the Word, something starts getting into me. And it's like, this is messing with me now. You know? And it's the nature of this Word to mess with us because when I look into and see the reflection, I realize that, you know, it's not quite exactly like I see myself. The image that God has always intended for me to be comes across in this word, and it's like, ooh, you know, wow. You know, Sandra and I were talking, we were reminiscing some nightmares from last year's winter storm, and I was working the snowblower, and she happened to be out there, one of those rare in 40 years of marriage, maybe two times she's ever come out to help me in the driveway shovel, maybe three times, I'll give her three times. She offered yesterday to come out and help me. She was in her pajamas and in bed. I'll come out. It's like, yeah, sure. But anyways, we are reminiscing, and I was working the snowblower, and a long piece of metal wire, long story, got sucked into and wound around the blade, the whatchamacallit, the auger. And I mean, stopped it dead. It's snowing. It was the end of I'm telling you, you know. And we were talking about it yesterday and how it took us, and she helped me. She said, oh, she says, I was there. Don't you remember? I was holding the flashlight for you. And she did, 3 to 4 hours. we were there. And she said to me, she says, I was holding steady. This is something Sheila would say to Mike. She says, I was there waiting because I thought you were going to blow. I'm serious. She says, I thought you were going to blow. It's snowing. We had, I don't know, probably a foot and a half already. And I'm trying to get this done, you know. And it, 3 to 4 hours it took me to cut that out of there. She's holding the flashlight. No exaggeration. Maybe a little. And so, and I stopped and I said, Sandra, how am I going to blow? I said, you know, all these years of walking with Jesus, come on, give me a little credit that I've become a little bit more Christ-like in my character, you know. And we laughed. And there is that sort of thing, though, that happens, isn't there? You know, we see ourselves and we look in the Word and it's like, wow. Sometimes it's like there's a Grand Canyon gulf between the way I see myself and the way the Word sees me, right? But that's its intention, you see. God says, this is what I'm going for in you. This is what I'm going for in you. This is what I'm going for in you. And so it's no ordinary book. It messes with my life. Now, it takes more than just reading the Bible for it to work in our lives. It's wonderful. Have a reading plan. I harp on us about having a reading plan where daily you're getting into the Word. And it's not haphazard, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. But it's a reading plan. The Bible, like any book, should be started with at the beginning, work through to the middle until you come to the end. And so, you know, we talk about that. But and as important as that is, we need to stop for a moment and realize that like a seed planted in the ground, unless it's properly tended to, it doesn't bear any fruit. Right? And so we have to see this, even as we talked about last week from the parable of the sower, that Jesus said, this seed is like the Word of God. The Word of God is like seed that's planted. And we learn from the parable of the sower, there's something that we have to pay attention to in this word that's planted into our lives. So it's one thing to take that word by reading, as it were, and say, okay, I'm getting this into my life. Now we have to do something with that word to tend to it to make sure that it's going to have the effects in our lives that it is destined to have, that we see fruit from that life. And there are a number of things. Some of those things we talked about last week, in particular in regarding how it is that the devil tries to prevent it from becoming fruitful in our lives. We have to tend to it. So here's what I want to say about it working in our lives in particular before I get to my four ways in which the Bible works in our lives, okay? Not three, but four this morning. And that is this: unless God reveals it, we don't get it. We don't get it. So there is this revealing, this revelation that we need to attach to our coming to the Word. So that when I come to this Word, there is this understanding that I'm connecting immediately. God, you got to, like you did for the disciples, you got to do for me right now. Otherwise, this just isn't making sense. You got to open my mind to understand these scriptures. And so we see that he does this. He does this by his Spirit. That formative and transformative operation of the Word in our lives. Those are big words. Those are powerful words. Because he means to form. He means to transform our lives by this word. That work, that formative and transformative nature of the Bible, works in our lives because of the Holy Spirit. Period. It is his Spirit in our lives. And this happens, as we can see in the scripture, from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved, it says, upon the face of the waters. And then it says what? And God said. The Spirit moved, and what? God said. There you have the Spirit and the what? And the Word working together. And so when that happens, there's creation. And so it is in our lives that there is this Word, but that Spirit of God that He's given to us must be moving in our lives concomitantly at the same time as the Word of God. We're getting into the Word. And when there is that kind of thing happening, it's like striking the match to the abrasive material, right? And when you strike that match to the abrasive material, what do you have? Ah, fire. There's fire. And so it is, the Word of God. Man, when that thing is struck, you know, into our hearts by the Spirit of God, there's fire. We get it. There's something that happens in our lives. So I want to emphasize that before I continue any further. And that is to say, how is the Holy Spirit working in our lives, in my life? How it is that I need to know and have that dimension of the Spirit of God? I think that there are times, and if you've ever felt this way, boy, you know what? I might as well be looking at that wall as to be looking in this book right now. Just, I'm drawing a blank. And it's not to suggest that doesn't happen sometimes because you got to work through it. But at the same time, it might be like that because the Spirit of God, we're not opening our hearts to Him to work in our lives to reveal this Word to us. Okay. So how does the Word work in our lives? How? How does it work in my life? How does it work in your life? I want to give you four ways, okay, it works in our lives. The first is this. It pulls me into a relationship with God. There's a gravitational pull in this Word. Listen, it's alive and it's active. You understand? There are certain people who are easy to listen to, in that when they speak, it's like, oh man, it's an inviting voice. It's a soothing voice. You know, I just watched the movie again, Mrs. Doubtfire. How many of you have seen that movie, you know? And Robin Williams, you talk about a creative genius, you know. But the characters, the voices that he puts on, and that voice for this elderly lady, you know, it's soothing, it's drawing in, you know, it's connecting. But God has, His Word is like that. There's this attractive value to His Word that invites me in. And to think about this invitation in, it's not an invitation in so that you can be filled with the Ten Commandments, rules and regulations, but to invite you in so that you can know Him and have a relationship with Him. That's right. It pulls me in. When I start getting into this Word, there's something about it that, wow, this Word is revealing God to me. See? And there's a knowing that, wow, this is what God's like. You see, more than just about, well, I'm getting the guidance that I need. I'm getting the principles down pat in my life, how to be a Christian, how to be a better person than I am, how to be a better husband, how to handle my finance. All these things are there. But above all of those things, it's I'm introduced to Him, and He's introducing Himself to me in this Word. It pulls me in. Here's the next one. The next one is this. It produces in me a desire to be more than I am. Yeah. It produces in me a desire to be like what I'm reading. It just happens. I start getting into this Word. In stories, I see how certain people reacted, didn't react, in ways that are are just good. And I see ways in which, you know, this is you know, what God is doing in my life and how it is that, you know, his expectations. And I say, yeah, there's something in me that says, yeah, to this. Man, that's what I want. You know, this is what I want to go for. And so this word all by itself creates an appetite, a hunger within me to be more than I am. God made me to be more than I am right now. He made me to be like Christ. He made me to be what he always intended for me to be. To be Bob like Christ. You understand? This is important because there are no cookie cutter Christians. God has no cookie cutter sons and daughters, you know. No, I'm Bob like Christ. You know. And so there is this kind of thing that happens. It produces a desire in me, it produces an appetite in me. Here's the next one. It pricks at my conscience. Ah, boy. This is where it starts to mess with you. Now, and the other things it starts to mess with you as well, you know. This word messes with your life. It pricks at my conscience. We read, you know, search me, O God. I have found it's one of the most quick... If you've ever been stuck where it's like, I don't think God's answering my prayers. Pray this prayer. God, search my heart and see if there's some offensive, bad way in me. I'm telling you, before you get the last, before you say amen, he's answering. But it pricks at my conscience. Searches my life. And he enlivens my conscience so that I see, boy, you know what? That wasn't a good way to respond. It wasn't a response at all. I went nuclear. And something begins to happen. And that word, where's this coming from? Where's this coming from now in me that I know that wasn't a right way to behave. That wasn't a right thought to think. You know? That, you know, I should have, you know, they gave me back $10 too much. Hey, it's the Christmas season, you know. I've just been blessed, you know. I should have said something, but you know what? And then on your way home, it's like, this thing is coming over you. This thing is coming over you. You know, this thing is coming over you. And you got to make it right. What's happening? The word is pricking at your conscience. The word is pricking at your conscience. And here's the last one. Okay? Here's the last one. Promised you four, you're going to get them. And this is a biggie. How does the word work in my life? It works in my life in that it pushes me out of the orbit of my world and engages me in what God's purpose for my life is. What's the orbit of my world? The orbit of my world I'm the center of my world. You know? And truth be known, selfishness is a hard thing. It's a hard orbit to break out of. It really is. That's why I use these words on purpose. That when you think of, you know, our space program and the different rockets and the different space vessels and so on that move out of orbits, what is it that does it? It's they're pushed out of it by this power that ignites them and moves them out of that orbit into the next. And there is that kind of thing that's going on in our lives by this word. It pushes us out of that kind of thing. You know, a lot of times, you know, I don't mind helping someone else because now I know they owe me. That's the Italian part. That's the Italian. I'm telling you right now. You know, it's like, hey, of course, I'll be right there. I'm there for you. You know, I'm there for you. And there is an orbit that this word helps us to break out of, to where no, I'm helping. I'm doing this with no string attached. Not for recognition. Not for. Well, see, that's big. So at least give me the recognition. You know. And don't get me wrong. Common courtesies of thank you and showing appreciation, we got a long way to go with that kind of thing. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, boy, we got to be careful that there isn't this selfish thing connected to it. And what I find about this word right here is that there's something that we're... Just read the story of the Good Samaritan, and you tell me if you're not pushed. Two guys walk straight on by. And people that you would have thought, if anything, had this word working in them, that they should have known to help this guy laying in a ditch. It just goes to show you that it wasn't working in them. They might have had it down, but they didn't have it working in them. And then a guy, a Samaritan, goes by who... There was conflict there, and he helps the guy. You read that story, and you tell me that you tell me if you don't feel pushed. You know? And on it goes. So there's something in this that pushes us. That pushes us. We say, you know, this whole thing of, well, God sees. That's not cliche. That's not cliche. Why isn't it cliche? What did Jesus say? I'm sorry. This is just bringing me to tears. In Matthew chapter 5, what does he say? He says, don't do your good works before people. He says, what? He says, God, what? Sees and will reward you openly. He says, do them in secret. God sees, he'll reward you. I want everybody to know. This just cost me something. At least give me a plaque. You know what I? At least a plaque, for crying out loud. And I have to see that the greatest commendation comes from God sees. And it says he will reward you, and he will reward you openly. I can see it now. All of heaven goes quiet. Everyone is seated, and then Jesus stands up. What's going on? And then there's a whisper. Bob Rulowitz Sr. has just entered heaven. Wow. And there's a reward. You think I'm kidding you? The scripture tells us that there's going to be reward in heaven given to us. Oh, yeah. And I can see myself. Now, this is how I see myself. And as the place is all a hush, and Jesus stands to receive me, and as I'm walking down, the rest of the place breaks out into applause. I put my chest out. I walk in a kingly fashion towards the throne to receive from him my reward. Oh, that's me. I'm there. And the applause continues. It's getting louder and louder. And on my head, there is the crown, who knows, of righteousness that he says he will give to everyone. It's there. And I'm walking. And I'm there. And when I get to the throne, I fall before him and I take off the crown and I lay it at his feet, because there's only one worthy, and that's him. And then I realize all the applause is not directed towards me, but it's directed towards him because of what he has done for Bob Rulowitz. Oh, come on, folks. I'm telling you, that day's coming. And here's the wonderful thing about that day. I get to share in that glory. I get to share in it. I get to share in it. And so I'm living for that day. I am living for that day. I'm living for that day. What is it that does it? What is it that pushes me getting into this word? Getting into this word. I've said to the Lord, Lord, okay, here I am, 62 years old. And it's like, Lord, I have dreams yet that I want to see accomplished. You know, dreams yet that I want to see accomplished. Because I feel like I'm being pushed. And it isn't the American dream. Got my house and this and the other things. You know, it's going to be, that's a nightmare. You're finding that out, aren't you? And it isn't that God doesn't bless us and it doesn't help us with these things to get on top of these things. What matters is God says, Bob, I want your house. Put it up for sale. And I want you to give everything away and I want you to move to Mexico. In a what do they call adobe house? They're made out of mud blocks. That's the house that we lived in. I said, yes, sir. Because those things mean nothing. If he were to say it again today, because now I have a better house today, better property today than we had in Southington. And he says, Sandra already said. She said to me, listen. She said, Bob. She says, if Jesus says to us, put the house up for sale and go, we're gone. And I only say that because this word pushes us, you understand, out of that orbit. This word pushes us to live for, what I mean to say by this point right here, this word pushes us to live for the purpose that God has all, you got to hear this, that he has always intended for me to be. Until then, if you don't have it, it's like putting what? The proverbial saying, a square peg in a round hole. No matter how you try, don't fit. Let's stand together. So how the word works in our lives. There it is. Todd's got it up there. How the Bible works in our lives. Come on. And so all of this to say to you, do devotions daily. Get into the word, it'll get into you. Let's pray. Right on time. So, Father, here we are in your presence, and as we have ministered this word that you, by your Spirit, as we said, would teach us. Lord, I thank you for each one of these families represented here. You see the stuff that is going on in their lives, in our lives. And I pray that today, this week, that a sense of new strength would come over them, that, Father, you would hear their prayers like never before and send an answer, that those who are struggling, finances, with kids, with situations, that they'll find new ways because of God-inspired wisdom and help to deal with all of those situations. We commit ourselves to you right now. And we say thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.